Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Let's go around the NFL in the loop style.
Why are you smiling?
Because I love football.
Brought to you by Quick Assist. Here's John Lopez and Reggie Adetula.
I'm going to tell you all about how much fun you're going to have this season.
On Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610.
That's right. It's Sports Radio 610 in the loop. John Lopez, Figgy Fig, myself, Reginald Adetula, hanging out with you on a Football Friday. And we just had our question of the day, which was football themed, of course. It's Football Friday. We all in. The question was, you being made commissioner, what is your first move? Now, some people came in with some interesting things. Jerome on the YouTube was like moving around the divisions to make more sense. Some of these geographically
like
don't make sense. You know
yeah,
what I mean?
I think our division, the AFC South or whatever it is, it should be Dallas, Houston, New Orleans, maybe somewhere around there.
Yeah.
It should be like a real division,
which would help fans a lot too. Like travel gets a little bit cleaner, and now
Tennessee.
You
have, there you go, boom.
Tennessee, yep.
Travel gets a lot better with some of those, but yeah, definitely. I like what you're doing there, Jerome. Someone else mentioned the idea that instead of kind of close to yours, Fig, the idea of when a team tries to move, that the ownership gets an expansion and the team actually stays, players and all, so that they don't have all of that. I think that'd be a little tough to implement. But the thing that made me think that, you know, got my wheels going, and I was like, oh, okay, but whatever I was saying, this is my action word. Abolish the draft. I'm abolishing the draft.
I am a big fan
rookie
of that.
Rookie free agency is what we're doing, right? Like, maybe you have a rookie free agent pool money, like international money in the MLB.
Yeah.
You get rookie pool and now rookie free agency, and I think that further incentivizes teams to actually be good at what they do instead of having these teams just be sorry to get themselves more better players.
Figgy has heard me say this. The listeners have heard me say that's one of my staple opinions in sports, especially in the NBA. No draft, hard cap. Even the playing field, it's sad. We're not going to do a segment on that. We can do it another time. But, yeah, I'm with you on that.
Okay, anyways, that's enough of that. I have to get to Around the NFL, which, by the way, is brought to you by Quick Assist, your no-hassle solution to reselling your tickets across every marketplace. Download Quick Assist from your app store today. That's QUICKASYST. Quick Assist, your ticket everywhere. All right, we begin with Thursday Night Football, which for the first time in a little bit was a banger.
Man, it was good.
It was one of those games that was even more fun because it was kind of unserious at the same time as being good. Like, sometimes it's almost bad. Well, not bad, but it's a little bit, it's not as good when it's like a great game, but it's also really serious because it gets tense.
Yeah.
This wasn't tense. It was just fun because you had the Falcons, you had the Bucks in an unserious division, both of them doing unserious things, and ultimately you get the end of the game that is kind of hilarious where the Falcons have an opportunity to do something special and then they throw a pick. And then the Buccaneers have an opportunity to put this thing away and maybe widen the gap with a field goal. And then they just lose yardage to something like 20-some yards in that final drive. And then they have to punt instead of kicking a field goal. And then you get opportunity for the Falcons to get out in here. Actually, the Falcons had a blocked field goal in the course of this. The Falcons get down there, kick to
Texans legend,
time.
Man.
Yep.
Tavier Thomas.
Yeah, that's right. I thought of you specifically, Fig, when Tavier Thomas got a blocked field goal. Field goal go. Youngway Koo is able to knock down a game time field goal, and then they go into overtime. And you have, a great story in Kadero Hodge accelerating in a great way. I think he got up to like 19.
Where did he
almost
come from,
20
man?
Miles per hour on an incredible Kirk Cousins throw to ultimately break this thing open and walk it off. A very, very fun Thursday Night Football game.
Terrific game. And Hodge, I said, where does he come from? I know where he came from. In terms of like, he's got two touchdowns, I believe, in the last two games and one in his career before that or in the last several years. Went to JUCO. He's out of Mississippi. Went to JUCO. Went to Alcorn State. And how about this? Finished up at Prairie View A&M right up the road.
Yeah, local legend.
Yeah, undrafted. What a great story. What a great story for Kirk Cousins. We haven't even mentioned him.
Yeah, Kirk Cousins. that was almost the most fun of this because I feel like Kirk Cousins has been hearing us talking bleep.
Yeah.
He got to Atlanta and he was like, no, that primetime Kirk thing, we're flipping it on its head. Mm-hmm. I mean, this was this a career high for him?
A career high.
It had to be, right?
How about throwing for more than 450 yards for three different teams?
Man.
Yeah.
Is he
like
a Hall of Famer?
No, God, no.
Stop that. What are you doing? All right, let's not go too far.
Show me a Hall of Famer he did that.
Let's not go too far. But no, yeah. Kirk Cousins, fantastic game, and especially when people had started wondering, oh, was that a really bad move? Because he hadn't looked great early, as we mentioned. You know, quarterbacking had been a little bit suspect across the league in a lot of respects, unless your name was like Jaden Daniels, really.
Yeah.
He was dealing with that injury, and I guess proof of concept that no, he still got it. And especially the thoughts that people had with these Atlanta Falcons was, this is a good team. They just need a quarterback, and that's how that game felt in particular. And that was necessary in that division because this would have been pretty disparate if you have a 4-1 a Buccaneers team versus a 2-3 Falcons team. Now both of them are 3-2, and off we are in a fun race in the NFC South.
It's going to be. See, that's the thing. You know, you talk about the NFC South, absolutely going to be all the way down to the wire. By the way, another one we haven't mentioned, Mike Evans. Goodness gracious, just another performance, and Kirk Cousins, just incredible. Incredibly on target all night long, and it was a hell of a game, man.
It was a delightful game. In fact, the game and Kirk's play in particular inspired a tweet from Jay Gruden. You remember Jay Gruden, formerly the head coach of the Washington football team when Kirk was still there, and it felt like he was just a little bit salty as he sent a tweet after that masterclass that Whoops put up, where he was like, "Well, at least we got a third round pick." Compensatory pick, because obviously, you know, Kirk Cousins, they did not want to pay him. It's kind of crazy. It feels like they didn't really want to pay him, and then he goes to the Vikings and they wanted to kind of get rid of him.
Mm-hmm.
He seems to always kind of have that vibe, and ultimately he gets to a place where it's fine. It works out all right.
It works out more than all right so far. I mean, he still needs to be able to see what goes on. I mean, a hell of a game, an unbelievable performance, but he still needs to carry this team to somewhere it hadn't been in a long time, simply because that's why they're paying him that money. I mean, he's getting elite money. So you got to play elite football all the way through.
All right. So as we continue around the NFL as well, is it possible that you have a lead on who, if Doug Peterson loses his job in Jacksonville, who would take over that job for him?
Yeah, figure. Remember when we used to talk about Albert Breer and Bill O'Brien? You know, yo, Albert, you up?
Yeah.
Albert Breer has a connection to the Patriots circle more than anybody in football. Like, if he says something about anybody Patriots related, it's probably true. And he was on Dan Patrick yesterday, and Double Dan. I had the audio, but it wasn't that good. But it was just, you know, him talking about this. He doubled down on Bill Belichick to the Jaguars. And why would Bill Belichick go to the Jaguars? I don't know. But when Albert Breer says it just, you know, certain reporters, when they say it, you kind of go, huh, okay, he knows. He's connected.
Yeah.
You know, he's one of those guys. I'm starting to wonder if there's some legs to that.
You worried about that? If that's ultimately what comes to fruition, and of course we got time, because that feels like that would happen at the end of the season, going into next season. Do the Jags then concern you? Because it feels like that's been a sleeping opportunity at a success in the AFC South.
Part of me wants to say no, simply because the Jags are going to jag. But, it is Bill Belichick. It is the greatest coach in history, or certainly on the list. So, yeah, it would concern me a little bit.
Okay, I tend to think that Bill Belichick might be in a place where he does not bring the advantage that he used to. Because it felt like he just brought a zigging to everybody's zag, just like a competitive advantage. And it felt like in the latter years in the Patriots, he had lost that. However, I do wonder if the Jacksonville Jaguars just kind of need competence. Just like a competent coaching. Because when was the last time they had that?
Yeah.
You start thinking back, and it's actually been a minute. Mm-hmm. And so maybe they just need, maybe not even necessarily that idea of a coach that brings a particular advantage over other coaches. Just, hey, a steady adult in the room.
No, I agree. I absolutely agree, but I know their defense is going to be good, and that's a big start for any team.
Yeah, well, that's in the future, and that's just tea leaves. You are reading tea leaves at this moment. All right, as we continue around the NFL, it was known that Rashee Rice, the wide receiver for the Kansas City Chiefs, has gone on the injured reserve after he had an injury that was kind of created by his quarterback, funny enough. Mike Florio of Pro Football Talk has kind of interesting thought process. Obviously, Rashee Rice had his incident over the summer where he was driving real fast, unreasonably fast, mm-hmm. in some rented cars in Dallas, and thankfully did not cause injuries in an accident that happened there. But we were waiting as to see when the NFL would do something about this. Florio seems to believe that maybe, just maybe, his injury and his IR stint might create an opportunity for the NFL to actually get that out of the way in a move that, if that actually happened, would not help at all the ideas that the NFL loves the Kansas City Chiefs?
No, and I believe it.
That's hilarious.
I believe it. Like the NFL, well, that's a bad look. Okay, sure. Whatever you say, it's a bad look. I mean, I could see it happening. Like, you know, just let's get this out of the way. Oh, you're injured for the year? All right, let's go ahead and suspend you.
It's a good time to do it.
We're going
to
suspend you 6 games. Oh, all right.
We need you back next year. I mean,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah, and I just...
Don't you think it could happen?
I think it could, and that's what's really frustrating, is that it feels like the NFL, and it's like on the field as well with officiating. All I'm looking for is consistency. Mm-hmm. I understand that these things are difficult, whether it's calling or officiating a game, right, in real time with all this fast speed, or if it's navigating the moral dilemmas and quandaries that it pop up with having to be the league office.
Yeah.
But I need some consistency in some ways. And I understand that that's a tough ask, but hey, you've put yourself in that situation. And it seems like the NFL's gotten to this point where they let illegal things play out and then make that decision. And okay, if that's how you do it, well, then do it like that, right? But don't play this the other way. Now, of course, this is all hypothetical. We don't know particularly if this happened. But even the idea that we could throw that up there and be like, yeah, I can see the NFL doing that, that's the frustration for me, just in general, from the league office and how they handle their business.
What did we say, $63 million a year? The Hunt family going to pick up the phone and say, why don't you go ahead and, you know, we're actually kind of angry about what happened. Why don't you go ahead and suspend him now? No, look, what you're saying, Reggie, is true.
And the thing is, the other owners ain't going to have too much pushback on it because they want that same type of
next.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
it's awful. Don't get me wrong, it's awful, but it's possible.
One more thing around the NFL, and this was just because how many times have we seen an injury reported, or sorry, a surgery reported on when it comes to a player? And what's always the response once we find out about the surgery? Successful surgery, right?
Yeah.
We might have seen one of the very few instances where it's not a successful surgery, as the Dallas Cowboys apparently are losing Brandon Cooks. He will not play this week because he got an infection in his knee.
Man, that's awful.
After a procedure. Like, so they got a win against the Giants, and he stayed in New York to get a procedure. And apparently he got an infection that developed in his right knee after the procedure.
And, you know, what? We usually they're all ahead of schedule, right? Brandon Cooks might be the first one that's not ahead of schedule on the result. But this is actually very bad for everyone involved because, you know, these are obviously high-profile athletes, well-paid athletes, and you have a procedure and there's an infection. I mean, that's like extremely serious. It doesn't seem like it, but it's extremely serious. And sometimes they have to do some very creative things to get rid of the infection inside of your body. I think it's going to linger. I think it's going to linger. I think it's going to be a bad look for certainly the doctors, the surgeon.
Yeah, it reminded me immediately of, you remember when Terrell Taylor had his lung collapse because they were trying to to get fluid out of there, right? Like, that's one of the things that I'm sure is really tough to be a medical professional at this, you know, high stakes situation, but that is the job and got to be better than that.
No, the surgeon he's looking over his shoulder right now. There's no question.
I found that to be interesting just off of, obviously, I'm not trying to make light of the situation, but it just always feels like successful surgery. And nope, not in this instance for Brandon Cooks. But there we go. Around the NFL right here in the Loop Sports Radio 610. Somebody asked, is Mixon starting on Sunday? No, I mean, it was that one. Ian Rappaport let us know that it is highly unlikely. He is not expected to play on Sunday for the second straight week. Although in the midst of that, he had one practice on Friday last week, but he has not practiced these 2 weeks. Damian Pierce also hasn't practiced, but we haven't heard anything about him. So it's really feeling like it's, again, Cam Akers, Dare Ogunbowale, maybe some J.J. Taylor. And then we'll see if British Brooks gets involved there as well. But yeah, it seems like that might be the complement again as you face off against the Bills. The Bills team that admittedly has not been good against the run. So I'd love to see what the Texans are capable of doing, but it seems like it's going to have to be Cam Akers being the tip of the spear there. All right. You're in the Loop, Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, did the end of the Astro season make you more concerned about the Texans in division? We'll talk about that next.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
It's a Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Here's In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Adetula.
You're in the Loop, Sports Radio 610. Appreciate you hanging out with us on a Football Friday. We're getting more news in about your Houston Texans as they're getting
practice. Juicy, man.
Yeah, it really is. So we got reporters. We got a reporter battle on the Twitter in a way. Not the way you're thinking. Right. But let's start with this. Titus Howard for the second straight day, not practicing.
Well, that's not good.
And
to put it bluntly,
Blake Fisher? Come on,
yeah, exactly. Like Blake Fisher, who is back to practicing, mind you. It feels like he might have an opportunity to start at right tackle.
Oh, I think he is. Based on the Joe Mixon weirdness, notwithstanding, based on the normal practices of participating in practice, Titus Howard probably won't play. So, Blake Fisher, come on down. But it gets juicier than that, Figgy. I don't know if you've seen this.
All right. So, this is where the reporter battle happened. At first, I saw Cody Stutes say Dameon Pierce has returned to practice.
Mm-hmm.
And then I saw Aaron Wilson say that Dameon Pierce was not practicing. Or no. Yeah. Dameon Pierce has returned to practice as well. Yep. Back at practice. So, he will be practicing.
Okay.
That was my bad. I was not reading properly. Dameon Pierce is practicing. Obviously, we know Cam Akers is fun in that regard. Joe Mixon is not expected to play. So what is returning after a few weeks of reprieve?
Cam or Dameon?
But aren't you excited, Fig? You excited to have the conversation?
No, I'm kind of confused now because back at practice, I mean, he was at practice at one point, right?
Yeah.
But he was on the sideline. He wasn't participating.
Well, we're going to get the actual report after practice, but it seems like he's participating.
Is he practicing?
It seems as if he's participating. So here's the conversation.
Yeah, I see him with a helmet on, with the ball, and they're playing on the field at NRG, mind you.
Okay.
NRG.
So it is a, like, we're going to find out. I mean, it's a question we can talk about now, but we're going to find out. Who do they prefer toting the majority of the loads?
It's Pierce.
Are you sure?
They going with Pierce.
Why
wouldn't they go with Pierce?
Because Cam Akers is better.
Well, and I think he might have.
He's had one game, though.
And
he's RB2.
This last game was not as good. It felt like the reads were not as clean for him when it came to following the blocks at times. But I think that you can at least now have some wiggle room and still hold true to the things that we heard from this organization when it came to Dameon Pierce. But then also now you can maybe lean on the idea, well, Cam has been playing. Cam's a little bit more comfortable in what we're doing, so maybe you can give him a majority of the shares while still maintaining that. Now, Dameon Pierce is we value him highly. He's our running back too, but we're easing him back into the workload. Maybe that's something that you could see happen. Or maybe they just hand the ball to Dameon Pierce. Maybe that is ultimately what happens.
Here's why I think, Figgy and Reggie, that it's going to be Cam Akers getting the majority of the carries. Remember in the Colts game, what did Pierce have, like three carries or something, and did okay, but that was a different blocking scheme.
Yes.
It was an actual plowing type, for lack of a better word, blocking scheme, not the zone blocking scheme. So are you prepared to change your entire core philosophy of the run game for Dameon Pierce?
That's going to be a great, especially.
Hey, they kept Dameon Pierce on this team.
Yeah.
Right.
They kept him running back number two.
But they changed it for those three carries. All right, Damian's in. Let's ram right ahead. Let him just you know go north and south, all that. He had three carries for 16 yards. Pretty good three carries, but it was three behind the 159 yards that Joe Mixon got. So if Dameon Pierce is going.
Sorry, every time, 159 yards. He was cooking on that day.
Yeah, we'll throw you three. We'll give you three carries. Joe needs a blow. So are you, like, I don't think they are. I really don't.
No, I mean, you've had Bobby Slowick just really talk about the run game. In fact, if you could, Figgy here, Slowick cut one when he was talking about what needs to be done to run the ball effectively.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what he was talking about.
You know, the run game is one where everybody has to be tied together. You know, I think we keep referencing how close we are as far as like the conviction in what we're doing. And that's showing up on tape, regardless of what we're going against. We had it the first week against Indianapolis. And then what happens usually is you start going against different schemes, and it plays out very different, and then it kind of weighs you down for a while, and it's taken longer than we all would have wanted to get back to what we want to do across the board. And then once that's rolling, which it's starting to get there, and then everybody's seeing it the same way. You know, the back seeing the same spot that he has to hit, the O-line really seeing the same crease that we want to get to. And that takes time. You know, we're running out of time, but we got to get to a point where everybody's seeing it the same way pretty fast. And that's what we mean when we say close. It's showing up more now than it has in the last couple weeks.
Okay, so with all of that, the way that he describes the run game and almost like a journey, mm-hmm. like it's almost a journey back to...
It's an experience.
Yeah. they are traversing a landscape to get themselves back to running the football well. Mm-hmm. And it's like the way that he describes that makes it seem like we're just getting back to being mm-hmm. able to run the football the way we want to. I can't imagine them then, because Joe Mixon isn't playing, then going, oh, my bad, y'all. Like, let's. I think that they're going to have Damian Pierce, and they're going to expect him to, hey, get out here and utilize this outside zone and sometimes this split zone that we're going to run, and you're going to need to, you know, operate in that context. Yeah. And so I don't want to say that I am expecting him to not run the ball well.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm kind of looking at the fact that he might not be able to tote the ball all that well. Although the Bills' defense, maybe their lack of ability of stopping the run, will then bode well. But he's going to need to read and react well. And it feels like we have a lot of data that says that he does not do that particularly well in that scheme.
Yeah, it's not about you know I prefer this guy just in general over the other guy. It's
As someone about, continues to mention, Akers did fumble at one point.
Yeah, but again. This scheme, this zone blocking scheme, outside zone, whatever you want to call it, is in Bobby Slowick's DNA. Like, it is what he does. And you can mix that up a little bit for Damian Pierce, but do you change everything?
No. And the other added element that we kind of talked about but have not fully connected to this is you're also going to change the offensive line. Like, one of the things that you were hoping that would help this season in the run game is that, oh, well, now you have guys in their places. They're not doing musical chairs, and they are all playing with each other. And it's kind of stinks because that hasn't helped a ton, at least, if it doesn't feel like offensive line-wise. But now it's looking like you're going to have a different person at right tackle.
Mm-hmm.
And so isn't that enough change then also adding some level of element that's how now you're also having to add in the gap scheme, Blake Youngfellow, mm-hmm. in addition to trying to get a feel of your pass protection responsibilities and how we're doing this in the zone run, you know, like, so it's going to be very interesting to watch this distribution of toting the rock. And now how does all of that balance also work when you consider that it feels like this team has gotten a lot more love and respect for the way that Darray totes the ball, mm-hmm. actually running the football, not just in pass protection.
That's
as a pass
catcher. Factor, right? I mean, especially in the pass game. I just feel like if you look at who runs this offense, the running game in this offense best, it's Cam Akers. It's Cam Akers. But we're going to find out.
We will find out.
We're going to find out.
And Pierce is their baby, man.
You think Pierce is trotting out on the first down?
I think so, man. I think the first play, he's RB2, man. Yeah.
But
Cam Akers wasn't even active for the first game.
Right, right. And you're right. Like, they have given us plenty. At this point, it's almost like hopeful that you're trying to go against it, because everything that the team has pointed towards mm-hmm. says that Damian Pierce will probably get the first crack at this. I do wonder if the split will be a little bit closer to those guys handle business on first and second down.
Yeah.
Darray on third down, obviously because of his pass protection, but maybe it gives you more opportunities to run the ball when Darray's in there because you know that he's capable of it. That does bring up once more just how poor this team has been on first and second down this year, especially some of that is a lot of that, in fact, is not being able to run the ball effectively on first and second down. You're going to, that is something that you needed to get better at, and now you bring in the question mark that is Damian Pierce with all of the things, as I gesture widely, all of mm-hmm. the things that we have to consider with him as well. Man, this the measuring stick got
interesting.
The measuring stick got bigger. Yeah.
And Figgy, like you said, I don't necessarily think you're wrong that Damian Pierce is going to trot out there for first down of the first series. But is he going to have the most carries? Because what's got me thinking is last year they were sort of ramming Damian Pierce down our throats, and then they saw what was happening. It just wasn't it, you know, in the Bobby Slowick offense. And so we went to Devin Singletary. So maybe they're like, okay, you know, this is our guy. He's our RB2, as you talk about. He's going to go out there. But is he going to have the most carries? Because Cam Akers is going to get some carries.
I think it depends on how Dameon Pierce play. If he's not having a good game and is not working, then I think Cam will, you know, get more carries than him. But I think starting the game, I think it's going to be Dameon Pierce, man. That's been their guy since day one, man. Mm-hmm. I just don't see him taking the back seat right now unless he's just having an awful first couple carries.
Someone asked, did I just hear you say that we have a new right tackle? I am hypothesizing because Titus Howard popped up on the injury report yesterday after practice, had designated with a hamstring, so he was limited designation, and he is not practicing again today. And so I think it is a fair assumption to make that he will not play in this game, or it's likely that he does not play. And if he does not play, that then probably leads to Blake Fisher playing right
tackle. They did not move him back to left guard.
No. It's not shuffling in that regard. It's just that he seems that he might be dealing with an injury that's going to prevent him from playing. And if you also did not hear, Joe Mixon is unlikely to play after he has not practiced at all this week. So he will likely not play, and that is what led to our conversation here of the idea of we're back to Dameon Pierce, Cam Akers talk, ladies and gentlemen. So that'll be really illustrative. And then all of that comes in the context of C.J. Stroud seeming to find his groove passing the football. Mm-hmm. Someone asked earlier today, and it's a valid question, didn't we learn last season that you could pass you could throw to open up the run in some regards?
Yeah.
Now there's more to talk about there because this team has seen a lot of coverage, shell coverage with two high safeties that maybe makes it a little bit tougher to throw the ball, especially in an explosive way.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that pass run split is something that's been talked a lot about, especially on those early downs because of how poor the Texans have been there.
Yeah, I could see this being kind of replicating last year when Devin Singletary got on the field and started really becoming the number one running back. Obviously, Joe Mixon's number one running back in terms of Cam Akers versus Dameon Pierce, I could see Cam Akers becoming more of the number one guy this game, but that doesn't mean that they're still not going to be pass first. You know, I think it's still going to be C.J. Stroud's game to win or lose.
It just more riveting things
it
when
is.
It comes to this
like
game.
I said, juicy. Yeah.
Juicy, absolutely. Now, of course, on the Bills side, what is helpful, Ed Oliver is out for this game. Mm-hmm. Obviously, we know Von Miller is suspended, so he will not play in this game. But then also we learned that Khalil Shakir, their best wide receiver by all accounts, he is out for this game as well. So you're not the only one dealing with injuries. It's the nature of the NFL. That is what you're working with. And 713. Okay, I'm glad you came in and clarified because we were obviously talking about the running backs and all I saw was J.J. Watt. And I was like, are you talking about on the line for Titus Howard? Are you talking about J.J. Watt toting the rock? What are we doing there, 713? But they said J.J. Watt for guard, which I don't even think. Well, I guess for Kenyon Green, is that what we're doing there?
What are we doing is the question.
trying to fix the run game. Lopez, what you mean?
The question is, what are we doing?
Trying to fix the run game with Justin James Watt. I appreciate 713 being consistent on the bid, at least. I appreciate you doing that. All right, you're in the loop. Sports Radio 610 as we careen towards Texans Bills on Sunday. It just gets more hairy with this. And remember, at 2 p.m. East River 9 is where Football Friday will continue after we get off the air. That is with the drive. Mm-hmm. I'm actually going to head out there, so make plans to be out there if you can from 2 to 6 at East River 9. But coming up next, we get into what's popping, including H-Town Blue, baby. Mm-hmm. It's coming, and there's a familiar voice that hyped it up. We'll talk about that and more next.
The biggest stories in sports and entertainment. Sports Radio 610 style. In the Loop presents What's Poppin'.
All right, what's poppin' here on a Football Friday in the Loop? As I mentioned, boys are out on location. The drive is going to be out at East River 9. I will go join them fine fellas. Not on air, just to be out there.
Yeah.
Enjoy the vibes on a Friday. So that's,
go mix and mingle with the people.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a hell of a good place.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to it. I got my clubs in the car. I don't know if I'll actually be able to use them.
Do it.
I got my clubs.
Do it. They got lights, too. You can play at night.
Yeah, I might. Yeah, I got time.
Okay.
That's true. Yeah. It's a Friday. I got time.
Yeah.
But also what's popping, the news of the day when it comes to practice, a lot of injury stuff happening ahead of the Bills game. So on the Bills side of things, Ed Oliver will not play in his opportunity to have a return to Houston.
Yeah.
You know, obviously he played at the University of Houston, go Cougs. But he is out for this game, as is Khalil Shakir, wide receiver for the Bills, probably their best wide receiver that they come in with. So that should be a benefit to the Texans.
Mm-hmm.
Joe Mixon, After practicing on Friday and being out last game, he did not practice at all this week, and we have assurances that it is highly unlikely that he plays this week. Although, Dameon Pierce has returned to practice, so now you have an opportunity for the conversation that we just had last segment, Dameon Pierce versus Cam Akers, but those guys seemingly will be active for you to tote the rock alongside Dare and all those things as well. But the other thing, in addition, when it comes to injuries, and I want to make sure I hit all of them, is Tytus Howard. Mm-hmm. Again, did not practice today, which would lend credence to the idea that maybe, just maybe, Blake Fisher will get his first start for your Texans.
Looking that way, and one other update, Figgy, that revenge game is not going to happen. I'm not talking about Stephon Diggs. Jerry Hughes is not practicing. Jerry Hughes is not practicing, and Derek Barnett is also not practicing.
I'm glad you bring that up.
Because let's talk about that for a second.
Defensive line.
Yes.
I mean, they try and rotate, but this already did not feel like a particularly deep rotation defensive line. They're going to have their work cut out for them.
Yep.
Already.
They're going to get some reps.
With Josh Allen.
Dylan Horton, come on down.
J.J. Watt, come on down.
Yeah, Dylan Horton just came back.
I know.
Just got back to working out.
We know you was dealing with some stuff, but hey, we need you badly. Yeah.
Like, their depth chart right now on the ends, those are their two backups, Derek Barnett and Jerry Hughes, to Will Anderson and Danielle Hunter. They ain't practicing.
Which, can you afford to have your ends play 100% of the snaps against the Josh Allen?
Who is their backups?
Well, Rashad Weaver would be there. And, of course, I guess Dylan Horton, huh?
Ooh, this is going to be interesting on all different levels, this game and matchup against the Bills. A lot of stuff happening there. Some other things popping. It is the H-Town, repping H-Town game. So at NRG Stadium, we already saw some of the new paint getting put down, some of the new banners. And there was a hype video that came out.
I love this so much. Figgy, I know you love this too.
I know Fig enjoyed this quite a bit. Who's narrating, Lopez?
How about this?
Titans legend?
Oilers legend, Bruce Matthews. They pulled out, before we play it, first of all, I want to give, even if it's not true, I want to give all credit to Hannah McNair. I want to give all credit, even if she just kind of rubber stamped it and it was someone else's idea, I'm sorry, I'm going to give all credit to Hannah McNair. Because that little Titans, Amy Adams and Hannah McNair rivalry, and the broom that you got that video of that went viral, Figgy, sweeping the Titans and all the other crazy, sorry-ass stuff that Amy does, to kind of tweak the Texans. Well, they tweaked them back with Bruce Matthews narrating this.
Everybody has a story. My story began when I played at the Dome, but I'm not here to talk about that. Let me tell you about our color, H-Town's color. H-Town blue has been a part of our DNA since this city was born over a century ago.
You hear that?
It means so much that our founders put the color on our city's seal.
Oh, did you
our
hear that?
Pioneers, first responders, and countless icons who call H-Town home don this color with pride. Now it's our turn. Houston, we heard you. H-Town blue isn't just a color. It's a part of our story. And the next chapter starts now.
Yeah!
I love this. I love this, like, so very much.
Yeah, just middle fingers up everywhere.
Yep.
In the general direction of Nashville, Tennessee.
Yeah. Oh, ooh, that was good. Oh,
man. So even more excited for the H-Town, repping H-Town game, and it's going to deliver in more than just the jerseys and the color. They're leaning all the way into it, so I'm sure it's going to be a fantastic place to be. Get there early, be loud, be proud, except when the offense has the football.
That's what CJ and D'Amico always want you to know.
That's correct. Yeah. That is correct. So that is what we're looking forward to in a big way. Are you still in on playoff baseball after the Astros have exited?
Man, I was last night. You were in a little bit, right?
I was. Although trying to get dinner allowed me to miss this particular moment where after being down 2-0 to the Brewers, looked like they were going to win that third game in the best of three series. Pete Alonso and the New York Mets said, oh, no, not just yet.
The pitch. Swing and a ball drilled. Right field. Freelick back. Alonso, an opposite field home run, and the Mets had the lead. Pete Alonso, the polar bear, takes Devin And here in the ninth, the comeback kids have done it again.
The best thing about that for me, interesting, maybe not best, Pete Alonso was like very much in
animated.
The mix.
Yeah.
Oh, very animated.
I had to bleep something out. Yeah. I think he was running home.
Yeah.
He said, "Let's effing go."
Oh, you're talking about from an Astros perspective.
He was in the, not rumored. He was reported to be a future Astro.
We had some promos running about that. Mm-hmm. I think Patrick Creighton mentioned that.
Yeah, and there were a lot of Major League Baseball, reporters saying, "Oh yeah, the Astros are looking at heavily at Pete Alonso." Lo and behold, didn't happen.
Yeah, with the trade deadline. Yeah. But I mean that might be the shot that keeps him in. And of course, that might be a little reductive, but that feels like that might be a shot that keeps him in New York.
It might be
shot that he had last night.
You know, as I put down, you know, earlier before the show, I said that could have been his last at bat as a Met, and it became the greatest at bat as a Met. Maybe
in his career,
maybe for sure. Certainly for him, but maybe for the Mets in general. And you see what they did on the flight home?
No, I didn't.
This was awesome. So Howie Rose is their radio guy, and we're going to hear that in a second, too. They all got on. They were all celebrating, flying back to New York and all that, and they were just, raucous airplane ride. The captain put this call over the loudspeaker.
Here's the pitch. Swinging a fly ball to right field. Pretty well hit. Frelick back at the wall. He jumps. It's gone. He did it. He did it. Pete Alonso with the most memorable home run of his career. Pumps his fist as he rounds second. It's a three-run homer. He's given the Mets a 3-2 lead. They all pour out of the dugout. Alonso on his way to home plate. They're waiting for him. He hits the plate. He is first congratulated by Nimmo. Hugged by Lindor. There are a dozen Mets waiting for him outside the dugout. Pete Alonso keeps this fairy tale season going with the fairy tale swing of his career. 3-2 New York.
Man, first of all, terrific call.
Well done.
Yeah,
well
terrific done. Call by Howie Rose.
Great energy.
And they played that on the plane. You should have seen. You got to look it up. Like, they went nuts. They had him walk down the aisle, and he was high-fiving all the players, because they put the reporters, the broadcasters up front, and he was high-fiving them. They were pouring drinks on him and stuff.
Yeah, just seeing the way that the city of New York reacted to that. Yeah, 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 it makes sense.
It was cool.
It was like everybody got injected with a narcotic at exactly the same time, with all of the craziness, but then with all the jubilation and excitement. Man, crazy, crazy game. Do you think that this has shifted the possibility that Pete Alonso is your first base answer?
Yes. I think he's going to stay in New York. I don't know.
Thanks for nothing.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. But I think he's going to stay in New York.
Man, I just keep coming back to what the Astros do and pondering it. But there's time for that, I guess. There's ultimately. But it feels like the polar bear might be sticking in New York for the time being.
Yeah.
But baseball news outside of the postseason, this really caught my attention. It was after this game, I think, late last night. That we found out per, I don't remember who tweeted it, but ultimately we found that the Terry Francona, apparently just, he can't stay away from baseball. It is in his DNA. He will cash some more checks, this time managing the Cincinnati Reds. They announced that it's a 3-year contract with a club option for a 4th season, as if that matters to any of us, but really matters. Terry Francona back in baseball.
Just can't leave, 65 years old, certainly has some years left, young team in Cincinnati. I mean, we'll see. There's going to be opportunity there, but I mean, he's good.
He's so good.
There's no question about it. He's good.
Like he puts up a good baseball team, and there is, as you mentioned, talented. Like, there's a nice infrastructure. There's a good foundation of pieces there. Mm-hmm. Obviously, headlined by Ellie De La Cruz, was 6'4", fast, rangy, shortstop. Like, just why we shouldn't make those type guys. And I wouldn't be surprised if Terry was like, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd like to manage that.
Mm-hmm.
And so the one thing I thought when I saw it, I was like, ooh, good thing that he's not in the AL.
Yeah.
Right? Like that that is for the NL to have to deal with. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it definitely feels like that is a really positive thing when it comes to the Cincinnati Reds, that they're going to be playing really important baseball here soon under the management of Terry Francona. In addition to that, this is not baseball related at all. This is actually has to do with your Rockets, who... they're, in training camp, getting themselves ready for the season opener in late October. We're a few weeks away from when basketball really gets going in a big way. But something that I saw a couple days ago, and I did not think much of, but it's become like a internet thing. It's got the internet going nuts, as they say. Steven Adams had a picture of his house I think some people have been calling his apartment, but I think it's very clearly his house. You can see out the window.
Yeah.
The fence and whatever. And in this picture that he put on Instagram on his story, it is just a mattress on the floor in an empty room. Now, I don't know if the entirety of his house is empty, but it's in an empty room. And people have been going nuts about this. Did you see this, Fig?
I did.
I think it's cool. I really do.
Do you believe it?
Yes.
I think it's clearly his.
No, I believe it.
I'm just saying, I feel like that's kind of a bit of a troll thing, too.
Really? See, yeah. I think it's like we've all been there, you know? Like, I don't care how much money you have. You get into a new city, new job, you're working, throw a mattress on the floor for a few weeks or a few days, and that's where I'm going to hang my hat.
Made me feel better about not having a dining room table yet.
Yeah.
Or a media console or stuff. Like, all right, yeah, I feel a little bit better. Mm-hmm. But I feel like, did he just get the house? Because, I mean, he got traded in the middle of the season last year, but, I mean, he was dealing with the injury.
Right.
I'm wondering how long, because, I mean, it does. He is just getting going for this season, but how long has he had the crib? Like, I need more answers to kind of determine what's happening
here. I feel like he just got it and probably waiting on the everything to come
in. On the furniture.
He
got enough money.
It kind of humanizes him. He's like, that happens to everybody. You know?
I guess it is something to remember is like when these guys get traded or moved, like there's real things happening on the back, the logistics that have to be handled in order to make sure these guys feel comfortable.
Like, I don't know how much family he got here, like wife or kids or anything like that, but they could be staying somewhere else and he could just be coming here and maybe maybe he's not trying to buy everything right now.
And he's not married, right?
I am not certain.
I have no idea.
I don't think he's married. So especially if he's single, cool. I mean, we've all been there. You know, it's one of those things that, getting settled. All I need is a mattress right now. We'll worry about the rest later.
Yeah, and he does have a girlfriend, as a cursory search is kind of pointed to. But yeah, shout out to Steven Adams. Living like one of us. Just, hey, man, we got to get by this mattress on the floor.
Hey, I've done that. You done that?
Yeah,
you done
course.
That?
I have, but I also have not done that at, what is he, 6'11"? What I just thought about is getting up off the ground off that mattress in the morning, probably not the easiest when you're that big.
We was living like that for about 3 weeks on the air mattress until we got the mattress. And then we put the mattress on the bed.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, or the mattress on the floor. And then a couple months later, then we had to get a frame. So it's tough, man.
Shout out to Steven Adams. Good job.
Yeah, I hope that furniture come in.
What's his salary?
Enough. The answer is enough.
He's in the NBA, so
he has enough.
Hey, let's check back next week to see how he's looking now, how he's sleeping now.
Mm-hmm.
Steven Adams really went ahead and posted on Instagram that meme of just like when guys only have a TV and a lawn chair and their PS5 in a room.
Yeah.
He's like, this is all I need.
It reminded me of Will Smith, you know, the last scene.
Oh, yeah, where he's
standing in that room.
Fresh Prince.
But it's the start of something great for Steven Adams here in Houston. All right, you're in the loop. Sports Radio 610 as we continue on a Football Friday. Coming up next, let's get into the matchups of this Texans-Bills game, especially with all the injuries. What intrigues you matchup-wise with the Texans? 713-572-4610. Let's talk about that next.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.